Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. This is episode 214. Holy moly. It feels like we were just, you know, it seemed like forever when you joined, Andy, to get to 100, you know, and now it's just moving along because you, like, when you joined, it was like in the 60s, and then I think it was, and then, you know, it took like, you know, a year to get to 100, but then now we're just moving right along. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles video cast. And as you can see, we've got a friend here, friend of the show, who we'll introduce here in a minute. But Andy Nichols, my friend, Andy, we just keep on keeping on, my friend. How are you? Good morning and all that good stuff.
Good. Yeah, you're right. It does feel like it took forever to get to 100. Now we just don't stop.
Right.
You know, I think when David did it, you know, and I think other podcasts do this, they do like seasons, like they take a break and then they do it like a TV show, which is kind of what you guys did, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's kind of what we did. And not by my choice, but
you met this guy and we just said, let's just keep going and going and going and going.
Roll with it, baby.
I'm doing well. Couldn't be happier to be here. It's nice, relaxing, us here on the East Coast now get a little taste of your Phoenix weather. Cause it's been humid here, as Kyle can attest, my fellow New Yorker over there. So, I'm doing good. And, welcome, Kyle.
Thanks, all. Yes. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yes. So our friend Kyle Hand here, who we got to meet at the fest earlier this year, it was great to spend some time with him and just talk about, you know, doing the show and McCartney and all that stuff. But Kyle emailed us and he's given us show ideas before, but this particular one we really wanted to tackle. So Kyle, why don't you tell us what you emailed us, the show idea?
Well, before that, Kyle said he had some goodies he wanted, some recent acquisitions. So Kyle, welcome to Two Legs and welcome back to Two Legs, because you've been on here once or twice before.
Yeah, I was here for the big 200 celebration.
Yeah, thank you.
And maybe once other time, maybe on a live thing, maybe once, maybe.
I've definitely written in before.
Yeah. Okay. So behind, I'm enduring your back wall there. Those you've got, New Egypt Station, Number of a Soul. Are those the LPs, or are those just like the artwork?
Those are actually, the LPs are in them. I usually have just the artwork for some. I try and have a variety of albums up there, but for the theme today, I switched it out.
That was just going to be my next question. It goes with the theme of today's show. And before you tell us about your idea, you got some new acquisitions, and we like showing off what we get on Two Legs. What do you got?
So when I couldn't afford the singles box set, someone gave me the advice, just collect them yourself, and then it'll be a lot more fun to be on the hunt for them. So I'm very happy I just got this one.
Ah, the Japanese. Yeah, that's the Band on the Run, right?
Japanese Band on the
Run. Band on the Run with the Sea Moon logo. Yeah.
And then to go with the same Japanese theme, I love how this
That's a really nice obi strip on that.
Is that sealed or no?
Not anymore. No, I didn't get it sealed.
Oh, okay. Awesome. That is a nice acquisition there, sir.
Thank you to the patron saint of McCartney podcasts, Ken Michaels, to turning me on to that one.
We know Ken loves Press to Play.
One day it just clicked with me that I was like, this is amazing.
It happens. Yeah.
It happens when you don't think it's going to happen. And, I know you messaged us. You were kind of, our last episode kind of tied in a little bit, Press to Play, with that 86 documentary. Had you seen that before?
I had never heard of it. I feel like there are so many of these like weird documentaries, whether it's like Wingspan or James Paul McCartney, that they all kind of blend together. But I've slowly been seeing them one at a time, and it was great to watch it for the first time with y'all's commentary.
Yeah.
Oh, great, great. See, that's somebody who hadn't seen it before for the first. Now, that was edited, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have to get my hands on it. It made me want to see the full Wings Over the World documentary, too.
I was rewatching it yesterday when we were doing it. I love that part when the interviewer, and he's impersonating the reviewer about his songs. Yeah. That's a good one. I don't like that. That cracked me up. I think I could also send it to you too, buddy. I have the full unedited version of it. So
sweet. Appreciate it.
I could share it with you as well. So, So tell us about the idea for this topic today. And I'll never forget you telling us about it in the lobby at the Hyatt in Jersey City first. And then you emailed about it, but go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So I've been definitely banging the drum on this one for a while because, as you know, I actually just turned 25 on Saturday. And so
happy birthday.
Thank you all. I have this, I think, unique perspective on McCartney where, you know, if I got into McCartney in like 2018, the only releases that I was really like conscious for was like McCartney 3. So everything I've experienced through the, you know, back catalog can go completely out of order and everything. So I guess it's a long way of saying that I've had a different experience with the last 23 years of McCartney, that it's not like, oh, another McCartney album. Oh, he's doing a standards album. It's like, I got to spend some more time, be a little more intentional about it. And so essentially, I want to prove the people wrong that say that his last great album was Flaming Pie. So I think before when I thought of this, I didn't think that the McCartney camp would ever actually release like a double album of his 21st century music. Mm-hmm. But now that I've, you know, done this experiment and actually made my own double album, it's more likely than I at least initially thought it was. I, you know, who knows what they're going to do. But essentially, that's the idea, to show that his last great album wasn't Band on the Run. You know, it wasn't Tug of War. Like, it's with these legacy artists, it's such a beautiful thing that they have these long, long careers. Like, we both talked over Neil Young and Dylan, and like, people forget that they're making music well into the 21st century.
Yeah, I mean, Rough and Rowdy Ways is one of Dylan's best albums.
Yeah. I'll just, you know, different podcasts, but yeah, I'll mostly agree.
Just to talk about what we're, you know, the artist, prolific artist, still releasing new music, to your point.
I totally agree.
I think that you'll find that most people will say that Chaos is his true last good album. And I think, Tom, you agree with that, don't you?
Oh, I think it's his last masterpiece for sure.
Kyle, do you agree or no?
No, to be honest, no.
Okay. Well, your perspective on these albums, so in other words, McCartney 3 was the first time where you were conscious enough to be like, hey, that's a new album, and everything prior to that was a dive back. Now, we look back at 5 years now of Egypt Station, which still feels kind of fresh to Tom and I think, in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. But your look at it was like, hey, I wasn't really in the zone of McCartney at that time, so it's just another, you're looking at it as another album, right, of all these... Chaos, Memory Was Full, New, Egypt Station, you're looking at all as one lumped up period, right?
Exactly. I think my order of like when I went album by album, I found like a one of those blogs that ranks like one artist albums. Mm-hmm. It went like Ram, Chaos and Creation. So like I literally skipped like 30 years of McCartney output, you know? So I think it's just interesting that you can have that anachronistic, you know, or I don't know if that's the right word, but like out of order. You know?
Well, out of order sequencing approach to it, which as a younger fan is pretty awesome to see somebody appreciate that stuff. Let me ask you another question. Is there a McCartney album in his main canon that you have not delved into yet? Or have you covered it all the basics now?
It's funny. I was thinking of this. The one that I have listened to the least number of times is Run Devil Run. I have it on cassette. But yeah, just haven't, you know, I always enjoy it whenever I listen to it, but I can't say I can name, you know, most tracks on it. And then I think that my next frontier is going to be the Fireman albums. I've given those chances here.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. I mean, have you given the classical and experimentation albums a listen?
Not in the way that I would fully like to. You know, I've more of like a passing glance here and there, but I have this belief that music comes to you at the right time.
Yeah.
Just like press to play, just gave it to my life for like, you know, like a comet.
Couldn't agree more. It finds you when it's supposed to find you.
Yeah. So maybe next fest we'll have a different conversation.
Sure.
Cool. That would be cool. Imagine the McCartney classical panel at the fest. That would be something.
We'll see. Are you planning attending the New York Fest in February?
Yes, I'll be there. Don't have tickets or anything yet, but
yeah, neither do we. But yeah, that'll be awesome. So that'll be February. So we're looking forward to that, and Tom will be flying in for that as well. So that'll be an exciting. You know, we'll reconnect with all of our Beatle people there, which is cool.
Big celebration. Maybe we'll have. I mean, think of how different the Beatles world will be. Hopefully, you know, knock on wood, we'll have, you know, a new Ringo, or like we'll have Ringo's EPs. We might have the Ringo archive. Yeah. We might have this Now and Then thing. There's going to be a lot to talk about.
Well, let me ask you about that, since that is the current kind of trending Beatles news. What's your opinion on a Now and Then? Are you aware of the demo? Did you hear it? And how do you think it's going to get packaged? Is it going to just get dropped? Is it going to be a rebundled anthology? What do you think?
So I definitely was aware of it in the sense that I listened to it, but really in the greater context of like the Lost Lennon tapes, that like, you know, there's a YouTube playlist with like one of my favorite Lost Lennon tape songs is India.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about it enough, but yep. Anyways, so it kind of got lost in the mix there, and but I really started listening to it more with all this conversation, and I feel like with a lot of people I'm like, really, they're gonna redo this?
Right. I listened to it. Now I checked out Beatley Tones. He did an update video on this, Tom. I don't know if you saw it, but apparently they added strings to it. So I'm really interested to see.
Well, why not? Yeah, sure. I mean, Paul has been jonesing to finish this song for decades, you know? So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's been the driving force, you know, to finish the song, you know? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it's packaged.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the way that Ringo talked about it at his birthday. He was like, I know it was kind of tongue in cheek, but he was like, yeah, Paul just had a slow day. So like, that was his answer to how is this being presented, or like, why is this being picked up? So I just can't think of it. Like, I think that the easiest answer, like if I'm just kind of really in Vegas, going to put my money on it, it has to do something with anthologies. Because my friend in his 70s lent us the Anthologies DVD set, and we watched the whole thing in a week and sent it back to him. And, you know, I was really taken aback by how crappy the quality was.
Sure.
And I think after Get Back and all the polishing he did on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that needs a remaster.
Screaming for a modern upgrade of 4K and then dropping on Disney Plus, as my movie buff over there in Phoenix will tell you.
Right.
If not an anthology like release, I'm thinking maybe even like a compilation type of release. Not necessarily a greatest hits, but you know, there was a lot of songs that didn't get on one, obviously because wasn't a number one. So why not, you know, the stuff that was, you know, top 10 or top 20, you know, focus on those songs maybe.
Yeah, I think at the very least it'll be an EP with cleaned up versions of Free as a Bird and Real Love and Now and Then as one thing, or an expanded anthology. I think it'd be nice to get Free as a Bird and Real Love cleaned up with this stuff too.
I just don't think that the Beatles can't just get to release any product that's less than $100.
Correct.
So that's why I'm kind of doubtful about the EP route.
Mm. Well, expanded anthology.
Let's hope they take pity on our wallet this year.
Good luck.
That would be nice.
Mentioning the Get Back documentary, I have a really brief story, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Are you all fans of Richard Linklater?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know the director. Yeah.
So I work at an entertainment law firm, and we represent him. And one day he came to our office, and I was like so excited. And instead of asking him about like his films, which I adore, I asked him about the Beatles. I was like, who's your favorite Beatle? He said Paul. And I said, are you jealous of Peter Jackson? And he said, no, because I actually prefer that original 16 millimeter grainy quality. So the world is probably better off with Peter Jackson's version than it got Jackson.
Wow.
I love it. Love it.
A little fusion of the film and Beatles world for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the topic today, we're going to be doing we're coming up with a fantasy playlist of a double album of 21 songs in the 21st century, which was basically your idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Encompassing the albums Driving Rain, Chaos, Memory Most Full, New, Egypt Station, and McCartney 3. I got them all, right? And any standalone songs.
Yeah, and any standalone sprinkled in there. You know, Hope for the Future. You know, you got The Home and Tonight and In a Hurry. You got
right.
In a Blink of an Eye. You've got I Want to Come Home.
Right.
You know, so you got other stuff in there as well.
Guys, I don't know if you slept enough last night, but I didn't hear you say Kisses on the Bottom.
Well, again, Tom and I, when we talk main canon, we leave the cover albums out of the main canon when we talk about main canon. I mean, even though there's a couple originals on there.
I agree. I think if this was a best of list, I would fully agree with you. But putting on our MPL hats, I think they're going to want to see something from. But hey, all of our lists are supposed to be.
So different. We know that Kyle's list is going to have a song from Kisses on the Bottom on it. Good for him.
I couldn't decide between 9 or 10 of them, but you know.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to just rotate it. Each everybody here will just list their that we got four sides to go through. And then we'll rattle them off that way. And let's start it with Kyle.
Okay, so mine is straightforward chronological order. My side one, I think that it would be so cool if it starts with I Do, because the first lyric, well, first of all, song first, love the song. But the first lyric is If You Only Knew. So it's kind of telling the haters, if you only knew how good my music was in the 21st century.
Okay.
And then two, I have Thriving Rain. You know, I tried to, even though this is, you know, imagining we're MPL, I tried to not put on like new or like any of like the big like singles or like titular songs. But I feel like Driving Rain is probably like the most maligned album of the 21st century. So I think let's put on the title track. It's a great song. Even if people know it, you know, it's a great representation of the album. Three, I have Follow Me. Love, now we're in chaos, obviously. Four, I have Too Much Rain. Because it kind of picks up the speed a little bit. And then the last, to close out side one, I have Jenny Wren.
Yeah, nice.
A little smattering of everything. Ballads, pop, all in there on side one.
That, to me, was really the assignment. And really the challenge more so than the assignment of trying to make it like a variety and trying to think of like the flow of like you put on the first song and you want to keep listening. Then there's this like, you know, climax by the fourth song, and I don't know, maybe I overthought it a little bit, but
no, you know? If it works for you, it works for you. That's cool. Tom, what do you got for your first side of your proposed LP?
My proposed LP to MPL would be, you know, I had thought about doing chronological order as well, but I had a lot of fun just mixing it up and seeing what four sides would look like, and I got starting off. I got Get Started, which is I love a good up tempo, and I just love that that coda at the end. Then I go to Driving Rain with Your Way, which has, you know, a slight country flair to it. And that's another thing I tried to do is mix some different genres of music that he did, you know, throughout, you know, these last 23 years or so. Then I went into kind of like a psychedelic era with Slidin', you know, which love that track, you know. And then we go with How Kind of You from Chaos, which you know, had the most amount of songs from one particular album. Chaos is what I think is, you know, just absolutely a masterful album. And then I end it with Nothing for Free on this one. So those two bonus tracks that we got from that Target edition, you know, just really, I just love those two tracks. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, when he tries to be kind of like modern, some of it works, some of it doesn't work. And I think, you know, not Get Started, Nothing for Free, you know, more for Nothing for Free, for more of a little bit more of a modern sound. But I really think that that song works, you know, it really cooks.
Where's Frank Sinatra's Party, song. Damn it?
Well, that one unfortunately didn't make the cuts. And I really thought it was going to. But unfortunately did not.
All right, they just said, well, I shouldn't say, because I didn't include it either. But I know you like those Egypt Station bonus tracks. So I knew that you'd have a smattering of them in there.
I feel like those need to be resurfaced in some way, because at least as this kind of newer fan, like, I listen to Egypt Station, it's already a double album. And then you tell me that there's these, like, extra tracks. It's kind of...
Right.
They're a little too...
And hidden. That's not even including In a Hurry and Home Tonight, which didn't get a digital or a CD release.
No. You know? Right. Can you imagine if those two songs were thrown on the Explorers Edition too?
Forget about it.
Yeah. I know, like a bevy of riches here. Already, you know. Although I think you agree that the end of Egypt Station peters out a little bit with despite repeated warnings.
A little bit. Yeah, you know, I really wanted to like that song, but it's over the years, it's just.
Yeah, I had a nice honeymoon with that song initially, and then it kind of Yeah.
I love the medley though.
It is.
But again, I also consider that too, because I'm like, all right, like if we're going to present this as a double album, those longer songs, like Despite Repeated Warnings and like the one on Driving Rain at the end there.
Rinse the Raindrops.
Thank you. Rinse the Raindrops. You know, realistically, I mean, I love Rinse the Raindrops, but realistically, you know, that would be that and then one other song on an album. You know what I mean? You'd almost have to make it a triple album. But
it's not a bad idea.
It's not.
But Andy, what do you got?
I went a little. I was thinking. I started doing it actually the way Kyle did. I picked my 21 songs chronologically to pick the 21, and then I rejigged them and resequenced them to kind of fit a theme for each side. Mm. I even titled the album. I'm calling the album "Happy with You." That's what I'm calling the album.
All
right. So side one is going to be like a total pop, rock, fast, energy driven kind of get the ground going. So we're going to kick it off with Save Us, Dance Tonight, In a Hurry, Queenie Eye, I Can Bet, and Promise to You Girl. All kind of real big, kind of frenetic, good tempo, good, you know, fast pacing, moving songs to start off an album and get your feet going. And I think, I think especially Save Us, I think Save Us is a great, you know, it opens up new. Dance Tonight, same thing, opens up, Memory Almost Full.
Right.
So I think, and you know, between Queenie Eye and I Can Bet, Promise to You Girl, that kind of gets the blood flowing for this album for me.
Yeah, that's my Promise side to You one. Girl is, you know, really caught on for me a lot. I mean, I really did kind of like, you know, didn't really pay much attention to it, but I really love that opening line, you know, looking through the backyard of my life. And then I love how it picks up too.
Yep. You know? And just starts and just picks up. Yeah. And it really, that's like the That Day Is Done of Flowers in the Dirt, where you hear the title in the track. Right. And that song sets the album for the whole, you know, even though it's later in the album, it's thematically, it's capturing that whole chaos in the, you know, creation of the backyard album.
You kind of hear it to do two different songs. Sorry, you got Fine Line where he talks about chaos and creation, and then you got Promise You Girl where he talks about, you know, backyard.
The backyard, yeah.
Backyard, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right, so now we're on to side two, and Kyle is up for his proposed side two.
Let's do it. So now we're in memory territory, so we're going to start it off with Dance Tonight. Because, you know, we got to, you know, appeal to MPL a little bit. And then this one's tough because I love the medley on side two. But so they're going to have to do some engineering magic to make this flow. But after Dance Tonight, it's going to go That Was Me. And then that will flow into Feet in the Clouds.
You mean the first medley he ever did ever as a solo artist?
Isn't
on Memory Almost Full?
Yeah. And then, so, only human. Then we're going to do, so after Feet in the Clouds, we're going to do Sing the Changes. And then five, with a big star on it, It's Only a Paper Moon.
Whoa, a little standard thrown in there.
Why not? I mean, I want to highlight all the places that he went.
That's a nice way to do it, to cover all, you know, you're covering everything. Fireman, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, because I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you want to stop down here. I'd love to know, like, what was it like when Memory was coming out, you know? Because I love it. Like, when Tom mentioned that he thought Chaos was his last masterpiece, I think Memory, to my taste, is.
Well, I'll tell you what, my feeling at the time was I was still riding high on Chaos and Creation in the backyard, and then we blinked, and oh, got another album coming out. What?
What?
And, like, 2 years later? Because. We kind of got used to this kind of interval of like Paul dropping albums every 4 years. You know, Flowers in the Dirt came out in 89. I was like 8. I vaguely remember it. Then Off the Ground came out 4 years later. Then Flaming Pie came out 4 years later after that. Then Driving Rain came 4 years later after that. So we were in this period of like every 4 years getting a new Paul album. And then it was like, boom, Chaos. And then, which was 4 years after Driving Rain. And then, boom, all of a sudden Memory Almost Full. You're like, whoa.
Right. Yeah, but then we learned he was working on that album first.
Correct.
And then went to Chaos,
Because that was just all the remaining stuff he did with David Kahn from Driving Rain.
Oh. Isn't this when you saw him in that, like, intimate show in the city?
I did, yeah, with about 1,000 people in the Highline Ballroom. And, like, I was, like, he was, like, 10 feet from in front of me doing House of Wax and all these songs. Yeah.
Right. Well, do you think it was like initially panned, or like was it embraced by the fan base?
Oh no, it did very well. It did very well. The fan base loved it. I believe it went. I think it was a U.S. number one. I think I can't remember.
Memory Almost Full? No, it was top five though.
Top five, but it did well. Yeah. Then remember, this was the big thing that because it was Paul's first album on the Hear Music label, the Starbucks stuff. Right. Do you remember that? Do you remember reading about that, Kyle?
I do. Yeah, I remember you guys talking. I'm like Starbucks. What the hell is he?
And it was a big jump. He left Capitol because he thought Capitol didn't really push Chaos. He jumped up with Hear Music and Starbucks, and every Starbucks you went into had Memory Almost Full playing, and you know, it was this big push to do that. And but I seem to remember being promoted very well. You know, no touring after that. No touring behind the album, but you had the tour after, kind of when he did, and then a year later he drops Electric Arguments, right? So you've got Memory Almost Full, right? You've got Pat playing in Starbucks everywhere, and they were, and then you've got another a Fireman album, which is really basically a Paul McCartney album, the year after Memory Almost Full. So it was such a frenetic period of new material.
Yes,
right. So
that was a great time.
Why I asked, because this is the only side that at least it has its own kind of album. It's the most dominating album for a side, because you know, it's just Memory, and then you have a Fireman album, and then you have My Valentine album. So
have you been able to score a copy of Kisses on Vinyl, Mr. Kyle Hand?
I think that when I'm rich and famous, maybe I'll throw some cash that way. But like, I don't know if I would drop like triple digits for Kisses right now.
Yeah. Thomas recently acquired that. Was that at a fest? I can't remember. Or did you get it online?
No, online.
Yeah. Online. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was one of those.
I had it in my hand at a record store, the Zia Records here. And I'm like, I'll just come back and get it because there was other stuff I wanted to get. Obviously, I go back, it's not there. And then the price just skyrockets.
Yeah. That was one of those. Sold on Amazon in 2012. $30. Click, ship, buy, done.
Yeah.
Can you imagine seeing Kisses on the Bottom for $30 now?
Yeah. It's the only one I don't have a physical copy of. The ones I don't have on vinyl, I at least have them on cassette, but that's the only one I'm missing. But
You'll get it. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, partner. How about that?
I appreciate it. money under my bed.
Thomas, your proposed side two.
Side two, okay. We kick it off with another upbeat with Alligator, probably my favorite song from New. Still love it. Then I went into the Electric Arguments album as well, and I got Sun Is Shining. Then I in the middle of the of that side, I put my favorite song of the 21st century, and that is Riding In. No, I'm just kidding. It's not writing at the Jaipur, but I'm just kidding.
It's Dylan Seavey.
But I do love Writing in the Jaipur. I've been a champion of that song since the Driving Rain came out, and I love it. One of my top five, though, for the 21st century, Dominoes is next. And then I go with Happy With You, which I think is just an absolutely stunner of a great little acoustic number that just, is excellent. And, when we talk about the possibility of it being about him, he's singing about himself, which if that is the case, then I think that was really a nice touch. Because, hey, look, we could all, try to cheer ourselves up. I think it's an uplifting song. I think it's great for anybody. It just doesn't necessarily have to be about him. It could be about all of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he does that from time to time. He'll do a song that kind of like an uplifting song. Somebody who cares, right? Who cares? Stuff like that. So that's my side two. Alligator, Sun Is Shining, Riding Into Jaipur, Dominoes, and Happy With You.
All right, good smattering. Good smattering of songs there, different genres. Yep. My side two is going to be more ballady and a little poppy, but much more ballady and a little bit of pop sprinkled in. I'm kicking it off with the only song I chose off of Driving Rain, and that would be Your Loving Flame. I had to get that in there because I think that's a true classic ballad in the Paul style. It had to be on here somewhere. Not to say, I mean, Kyle, I loved how you kicked it off with I Do. I think that's a great track. But I just think in the bevy of riches that he's given us since Driving Rain, it's hard to go back to that and pick out when there's been so many good things between Electric Arguments, Memory Almost Full, New, you know. But there are individual good tracks on Driving Rain.
And that's a great representation of Driving Rain, too.
Your Loving Flame. Yeah, I think that's okay. We'll get Driving Rain represented with Your Loving Flame. Then I'm going to go to This Never Happened Before from Chaos.
Yes. Yes.
Then I'm going to go to the song Tom just mentioned on his side, too, but I have it on my side, too, as well. Dominoes from Egypt Station. Right. Then Friends to Go from Chaos. Vintage nice. Clothes from Memory Almost Full. And closing side two out with Tom's favorite on New, Alligator.
Mm-hmm. Alligator, excellent.
So a little poppy slash ballady on side two.
Yeah, I like it.
When you guys mentioned Alligator, I think it was before I had listened to New, and you guys were like, just like, this is like one of the best. Mm-hmm. I listened to it with headphones, and then when it did that like falsetto, I felt like my whole soul was like lifted from my body. I was like, I don't know. That's the best part, because the podcast doesn't have to be for like someone who knows every single thing about McCartney. In fact, it might be better for people that know like half the catalog, and then you can help us like find the different pieces. So just thanks for that.
You're very well. It's one of those moments when you're listening to the song and all of a sudden it goes falsetto and you're like, what is that? And it makes, like you said, it made you jump out of your skin. It was so just awesome to hear, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
I think he did that at a sound check, right? He never did it live, but I think he sound checked that song.
No, I think he sound checked it a couple times.
Yeah. Sound checked it, I think, in Japan, but that would have been a cool one to hear live.
That's record one right there. So
yeah, that's record one. Bad. Both two sides done. Bad, good job. So we have about 12 tracks done so far, give or take.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Very good. Kyle's going to start us off with side three.
Side number three. Okay, record two. So I'm starting it off with Queenie Eye. You know, I like to try and start with something a little more upbeat. And then number two is going to be On My Way to Work. And three, you know, there's so many great ones in New, but I love this one, might be one of my favorites, Looking at Her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love
it. Too many people talk about that one.
Oh, that's a great track. I'm with you 100%, Kyle.
Yeah, because I feel like generally, Riley, right now in my life, I like side one a lot better than side two of New. But one is the standout on side two to me. But then we're switching over to Egypt Station, Happy With You. And then five is Confidant. And then this is my side with six songs. And then I'm so upset that Tom already mentioned it. Nothing for Free. I was going to pull that one out. But wow, what a song.
It is fantastic.
I love when artists do like the low harmony. Like, I first noticed that on Really Love You on Gon Troppo. He does there's just like this is like super deep bass doing a harmony.
Deep,
and, like,
right.
And now I'm like always hearing it in other songs. And I think that McCartney, I mean, it's just such a weird, like, who was he listening to? Like, what influences was he having? Like, didn't he love like Post Malone, like in the like late teens, that he was like drinking beers with Post Malone and like, playing with Pro Tools?
I know Tom has a great story with Nothing for Free. I think at his work, he had it on, and some people liked hearing that song who were younger fans, and they dug it.
Yeah. Well, they weren't really necessarily fans. I mean, they were just younger you know, co-workers of mine. And that being a kind of a more modern style song, you know, I played it, and they really dug it. So.
Yeah, I'm very curious. We should tally up when we're done how many songs and we all had linked up together in our fantasy albums.
Oh, absolutely.
Here. How many in common we had.
I'm writing down the list, so.
Oh, you got it. Okay. Way ahead of you. All right. All right, good. So, Kyle, that's your side three. You had five tracks or six?
I had six on there.
You had six. Okay.
Yeah, it's three New, three Egypt Station, but one of the Egypt Station was the bonus.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, Thomas is up for his side three.
Yeah, and then I did the same thing as Kyle. I mean, the first song that led off the that side is kind of more of an upbeat track, and then so I did Find My Way for this side, which is, you know, I thought should have been a single 4, McCartney 3, instead of Women and Wives. Women and Wives is nice. But then I went with In a Hurry, which I think is just another. If you want to listen, if you don't think Paul can still play bass, put the headphones on and listen to that track. And his the bass line in a Hurry is just fantastic. Then I went with This Never Happened Before. I think, Andy, you already said that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great track. I was in Texas and
a great story.
I was in Texas training for one of the restaurants I worked at. Their corporate base was in San Antonio, and we went to a bar one night, and then this guy was just, you know, strumming the guitar, and then all of a sudden he just whipped out This Never Happened Before, and I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? So after the set was done, I went up to him and started talking to him. He goes, oh yeah, a couple wanted me to play this at their wedding, so I'm just practicing the song.
Wow. And you're like, how do you know this song?
This song. Exactly. Yeah.
I have a podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
but that
man.
that was still a few years before the podcast, but many years.
Many years from now.
And then then we go back to Electric Arguments with Sing the Changes, and then we go with my other track from New, which is the brilliant Early Days, and
that closes, you know, side three.
That closes side three, and we just had the anniversary of when John and Paul met. Right? A few days ago.
6th of July, 1957.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those, like, big office buildings in the elevators? They have, like, little TV screens with news items on them. Do you ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
That day was, like, mentioned in the elevator.
Oh, no shit.
I was like,
very cool.
And I was also, fun fact, that's also where I found out about the new Beatles, like, AI album is how they described it. You know, I was literally going to work, I see this in the elevator. I was like, what the hell?
You guys are aware that there is a recording of John playing with the Quarrymen from the 6th of July, 1957. Have you guys ever heard it?
No.
It's on YouTube. It's John singing Putting on the Style, and it's from July 6th. Paul's in the audience. It's an audio recording. It's not great. But it's authentic and it's real. And the Quarrymen are playing Putting on the Style, which was a cover song. And you can hear, without a doubt, that's 17-year-old John Lennon singing on that you know, flatbed of a truck. And Paul's in the audience. Check that out. It's called Putting on the Style.
They didn't put that in anthology?
No, it surfaced out. It surfaced. It didn't come out. It popped up maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But it's out there. It's about 40 seconds long. And it's the quality's not great, but you can hear it. There's unmistakably that's John Lennon. So that's a little bit of trivia. If you check that out, it's out there.
Wait, that's the new Beatles AI track.
Could you imagine after all this Now and Then crap, it would be that? Oh my god!
Yeah,
40-second EP.
Yeah.
All right. So all right. My turn.
Or no? Your turn side three.
So this is a darker side. This is where the mood of the album really shifts into a darker place now. Yeah. I only have four tracks on side three. We kick it off with one of my obscure favorites as a standalone track, bonus track from New, Hell to Pay. Opens up side three. I love Hell to Pay.
That's a great track.
Which is basically
great
saying, you know, I'm, you know, F you for, you know, I mean, we know who it's directed it to. Miss No More Landmines. It's directed at her. Hell to Pay to open it up. Then into House of Wax. Then into Road, the closer from New. And then I have side three ending with. It's not so much dark, but it's a heavier song. Tom said it before. I'm ending side three with Slidin'. I mean, it's not as dark as Road, House of Wax, or Hell to Pay, but it has that heavier feel to it, which is why I think thematically that side three works together with those four tracks.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sliding. Great track.
And we are on to the last side, and it is Kyle's turn.
Okay. So to close out this, now I made a bold move here. My first two songs are Home Tonight and In a Hurry.
Yeah. Great.
I love those songs. And I'm so happy that they put out the whole singles box set on digital. But the fact that these songs were buried 150 songs into a playlist
I didn't expect anybody to find these, but I'm glad I did. But I think it was through, I was listening to the Things We Said Today when they were going through like their favorite Maca song from each decade. Yeah. And then that's right. This was like recently, and it was the first time that I heard like, yeah, there's a lot of like non-album singles like in the 21st century. I like just completely went missing it this whole time. So anyway, like we were saying before, found me at the right time, really into those tunes.
Yeah.
So there's some nice representation there. Home Tonight, In a Hurry, and then we finish it out with Find My Way, Deep Down, and Winter Bird.
Oh, you threw Deep Down on there.
Yeah. Deep Down, huh?
A lot of people don't like that one.
Well, they got to get deep down. I think it's like, because, you know, I see these as like historical snapshots, really. I mean, of course, like it has to be enjoyable first, but I just think that's really just imagining McCartney like in lockdown of COVID, just like in his basement, just playing with, you know, Pro Tools or whatever, and just getting deep down. So
can you run that track listing again one more time for me, the last side?
So it's Home Tonight, In a Hurry, Find My Way, Deep Down, Winter Bird.
Okay. And you're closing it out right with McCartney 3 chronologically. All right. Yeah. Long tail, like the opening track, right? The opening track of McCartney 3? Or no?
The closer.
Winter Bird. Okay. Right. All right. Yeah. Gotcha. Cool.
All right.
Thomas, how are you closing out this fourth side?
Yeah, this is my six song side right here, and then this is for me just like this represents what I think the best of McCartney. These tracks were like, you know, I have to hear these songs a lot. You know, these are just songs that I constantly play. I opened the track with The Way It Is on Memory Almost Full, just because I love these two songs together, and that is Vintage Clothes and That Was Me. I just love him looking back. Listen, you know, I love the Don't Look in the Past. You know, I love, you know, Don't Hold On to Something That's Changing Fast. You know, and I love the thing is, it's like a circle, right? I mean, what goes, it comes back, you know, and it's true. I mean, everything that goes out of fashion will eventually come back. Oh, That Was Me. I love the story he tells, you know, that he can't believe that he's being able to live this life, you know, and he does. Jenny Wren. I think it's one of the best songs of this century. Same with Too Much Rain. You know, I love these uplifting songs that he does, you know, to try to cheer people up. My absolute favorite song of this century so far is Riding Into Vanity Fair. I think this is by far his best song of the 21st century. And then as we started with Get Started, we have to end of the end at the at this. So my double album ends with The End of the End, which again, you know, talking about, I find it so brave for an artist to do, you know, to sing something like this.
Yeah.
You know, what he wants us to do when that unfortunate day comes. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but we'll see.
You better
we'll
get see. Your ass over here the day that happens, and we're going to have a, you better get right. Yeah.
Yeah. We're
going to go on the deck.
Well, let's hope that's still a few years away.
Let's hope.
Yeah. You know,
so you end the album with The End of the End.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Very.
Yeah.
I like how you said that it's your, you know, your best of 21st century is the last song. Right. It's all chaos and Memory Almost Full.
Yes. Yes.
That's cool.
Yes.
Interesting. I'm waiting for Kyle to give me the statistical breakdown after we're done. All right. And I'm here. So side four for me, this is kind of continues. It's not as dark. This is the much more deeper, introspective kind of, you know, looking back at the past and where he's at with his life kind of to close the album out. And I open up side four with a track from McCartney 3, which I think is great and sums up everything that we love about Paul. And that's Seize the Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seize the Day to open up the last side of his maybe last album ever. And then we go with I Don't Know from Egypt Station. Then we go with I Want to Come Home from the film. And then we go with The End of the End, as Tom mentioned, but that's not the last track. And then I have the last track being Happy With You.
There you go. Yeah. Close out the title track.
It's the title track of the album. The end of the end. It's a beautiful song, but it's so sad that, you know, I didn't want the album to end that way. So I said, well, let's go out. If he's talking about himself, let's go out with Happy With You. And that's why I named the album Happy With You. So that's my fourth side.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, MPL, thanks I for like inviting. It. Hope you consider this package.
Now, curiously, I didn't have anything from Kisses or Egypt Station. Electric Arguments.
Electric Arguments, right.
Yeah, and I think about it. You guys both had Sing the Changes, I think you had on there. Yeah. I think Sing the Changes was the only songs you guys had from Electric Arguments, right? Oh, no, well, Tom had Sun is Shining. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, from the best you can answer, do you think that MPL would want things to be all represented? Or do you think they're like, let's just put on like what we think will like be the best? Or
I happen to think that if they were to do a compilation, say, of his last 20 something years, it's going to be his main music. The other stuff is not going to be, would not be in that compilation, in my opinion. In my opinion. But who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They might say, 10 years ago, Paul did a standards album that people might not know about. Right. So they might want to do that to expose people. Hey, look, go check out Kisses on the Bottom.
And if you remember, Pete McCartney didn't feature any songs from Driving Rain. So you would hope that if they were to do a compilation of these albums from the century, you would hopefully there would be something from each album, whether or not it's Kisses on the Bottom and Electric Arguments at the same time. So I would hope that they would do that.
Yeah. Curiously, none of us had hope for the future either.
Hope for the future either. I mean, it's a good track, but it's nothing that I desire to listen to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So.
Yeah. Any other, I'm trying to think of other things that jumped out that we skipped
I mean, then I was also thinking of, okay, there's also songs that he worked on with other people. You know, I would have loved to have added Best Love from the Steve Martin from record. But I don't know if you've heard that yet, Kyle, but look up Best Love from Steve Canyon. Matter of fact, I'll show you the record.
That's one of Tom's jewels.
This is
what you got at the fest.
Yeah, this one I got at the fest. So this is Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers. The album's called Rare Bird Alert. Okay. Yeah. And so Paul didn't write the song. He just sang it. Okay. And it's kind of like a little, you know, like a little bit of a banjo type ballad thing. It's really cool. It's called Best Love. Music and lyrics by Steve Martin.
2009.
This was 2011. So I wanted to include it, but again, you know, he just sang it, so he didn't really, you know, write it. I mean, if he was a writer as well, then maybe I would have said, okay, screw it, I'll put it on there. But no, I didn't. I just stuck with the canon.
Do you want to know what would really complicate things? If they wait until 25 years of the 21st century, and by then McCartney comes out with a new album. Because then you got to include like three songs from that album and then kick off three songs.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What do you think, Kyle? Do you think Paul's going to release another album of original material?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I, you know, definitely don't want to, you know, I feel like the universe is always listening to me. And whatever I say, they're going to do the opposite. So don't blame me. But I think McCartney has another like 10 years in him.
Oh,
at least.
I think so, too. I think we'll see the end of touring, but the music will still being produced, whether that's new songs, sound, whatever, you know, because obviously the limitations physically of touring, it just gets too much. Yeah. I personally feel like the touring is done. But
I would be so upset if McCartney 3 was the last album. As much as I adore it, I just think like I want him to be in the studio with world-class musicians making a real studio album.
Right. Yeah, well, the musicians were on one track on that album. We know that.
Yeah. But if his career started with McCartney, and if it ends with McCartney 3, I'd be fine with that. I would be fine with that.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, I would be fine with that because it's, you know, besides Slidin', which has the band on it, you know, it's him ending like he finished, you know, working on his own, creating, yeah. you know. So, I mean, that's how I would look at it. But no, obviously, I want more. You know, we've been very, very fortunate to have all these riches from McCartney. Like you said, Kyle, I mean, you've got some artists that just have this longevity. You know, Neil Young, Elton John, you know, Paul McCartney, Dylan.
They just keep churning albums out.
Creators create, you know, and I admire them. I admire the ones that keep doing it. There's some that have this attitude. Well, I mean, my records don't sell anymore, so what's the point? Well, you know what? Because you're a songwriter, you create.
You create.
You should keep doing it, whether you sell one record or a million records.
And it's not. We know that the record sales, the record business, is clearly not what it was even 10, 20. So, you know, you release an album because it's in the spirit of the musician to create, whether they sell, like Tom said, whether they sell a million or they don't.
Right.
I have a hypothetical I want to run by both of you, which was actually a comment that somebody left recently on one of our videos. And it's a good point. And I don't know, Tom, you might have seen it. Somebody said, and I forget who said it. I'm sorry, I forget who wrote the comment, but it was an interesting take. Somebody said, how come there has not been enough attention or praise thrown? And this ties into this episode a little bit because these guys are on this music. The Paul's backing band that he's been playing with since 2001. Do you remember that comment, Tom?
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Wings. We talk about the 89 to 93 touring band, but this person said, not enough praise is given to these guys that he's played with longer than the Beatles, longer than Wings, and all of them. They should be given their due. And it's interesting because we know that they're just sidemen, right? But and they're right. They're there to do a job, but we don't view them in the same way as we do. Certainly not Wings, and definitely not the 89-93 band. What say you guys about that thought about Wicks and Abe and Rusty and all those guys?
I remember this conversation. I can't remember who was on it, but it might have been a regular Things We Said Today or Ken Michaels, but they were discussing, like, is Wings a true band? And then Ken raised the point that McCartney's new band has been together like twice as long as Wings. And I almost wonder if, you know, it's hard to get into the psychology of McCartney, but they were trying to make it like a band was just so fraught and caused so much tension and, you know, stuff in the press that maybe he was just like, all right, just forget it. They're just I'm like 60 years old. They're just my backing band now. But I think it would have been cool if he was like Paul McCartney and the Polar Bears or something. And then, you know, like it could just be that for like the next like two decades. Who cares? Like, I think it would have been cool. Well, I think to make this album a double album, it would actually be kind of cool if it was like, I don't think this would ever happen, but like McCartney's like new band or like whatever, you know, to honor like that section of his career with this band.
Yeah, I know, but when you got the name Paul McCartney and the history of Paul McCartney, it's hard to, like Elvis Costello, right? With Elvis Costello and the Attraction, sometimes he's just Elvis Costello, sometimes he's Elvis Costello and the Attraction. Same thing with Neil Young and Crazy Horse. I mean, he's gone back and forth with that as well. Would it be cool? Yeah, kinda. You know, to include them, to give them, you know, a name and some recognition, if you will. But he's Paul McCartney. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to give this some more thought. Maybe we can do an episode on that in the future.
They've played on the majority of these albums. Obviously, not McCartney 3 the most, but they've been on all these albums. Mm-hmm. To me, what he's been doing for the last 23 years is just a continuation of what he did with the 89 to 93 band. It was just, you know, it was just Paul McCartney and his band. I mean, it's just with different people. That model, he's still using that same model that he relaunched with when he restarted touring with Flowers in the Dirt again. It's the same model. It's just with different people. Obviously, would that have 90s band continued had the anthology not happened and Linda not obviously, unfortunately, passing away? Maybe. But, you know, these guys have been by his side and, you know, I mean, he, like you said, Kyle, he was about 60 when he got together with those guys. He's now 81 and they're still with him. And they're not super young either.
No, they're not spring chickens either.
You know, I think their legacy is secure. I don't know how any other way you could celebrate them. You know, they've been a part of the guys, you know, latter period of his life, putting together, still making fantastic music as evidenced on your wall and all the songs we just talked about. They're on just about all those songs. So I don't know how any other way you could recognize them other than what they've been doing. You know, they're fantastic musicians. They cover all the music fantastically, note for note. Beatles music, solo music, Wings music, they cover it all. In fact, they should be championed a little bit more because they're the ones that push Paul to do more different solo stuff. And he's the usually one saying, I don't want to do it.
Stuff. And look, you know? I mean, they performed on the Art of McCartney as well. And plus, they get to do their little solo projects as well.
Yeah.
You know, so when they've got a break in the action, they're putting out
singles. These guys have CVs that are off the charts outside of their work with Paul McCartney, you know, who they've right. worked with. So I just thought, I mean, they're all, it kind of ties into this episode because they're on all this music. And I wanted to get back to that, you know, viewer who left that comment saying there's not enough attention being paid to his backing band, who he's been with more than any band he's had. And that's a fair statement.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's, again, I don't want to dive into the psychology of people. I think it would be cool to, like, especially have Abe on the show one day, but just ask if, like, do they even want that? Like, do they even want to be the polar bears? Like, no, because, right. you know, say, you know, all the problems with,
You say polar bears, Kyle. Don't you? They would be koala bears, though, right? If they're in a McCartney band. Yeah.
I was going for the alliteration, but I like the callback. but, you know, I'm blanking on his name. Henry McCulloch was his, like, the guitarist that quit Wings?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yep. Yeah. So he, you know, the issue was he wasn't getting paid enough, and, like, you say we're a band, but we're not a band. I wonder if, like, the more recent people are just like, listen, McCartney's paying us a lot, we can just, like, chill out. We don't really.
Well, too, that's worlds of difference. I mean, Paul was still in the mess of the Beatles breakup and trying to pay them. I mean, by the time he got the band back together for 89-90, the business was firmly established. They were going to get paid their due, you know. So, yeah. you know, it's, you know, it was very much more organic there in the early 70s. He wanted the band to be, you know, democratic, but it never really could be. And then the money, and if these guys were getting offered to be session musicians in New York and getting paid handsomely, they were going to do it.
Right. And then Cywell did, you know, he did from time to time. He did take the break and went to New York and did some session work while in Wings.
Yeah.
So absolutely. But yeah, I mean, I would love to give this a little bit more thought and
yeah, let's definitely
this chat another time.
Sure.
But in the comments section, guys, for homework, let us know what your 21 songs are. It can be anything in the 21st century, whether it's non-album singles, deep cuts, hits, whatever you guys want to do.
Hot hits, cold cuts, whatever.
Not it's cold cuts. But Kyle, this was an excellent idea. We had a lot of fun with this one. Thank you very much for this idea. Appreciate you coming back on and joining us for this one. You know, I know it was a little bit of short notice, but it was awesome that you were able to join us for this.
Hey, anytime. Thank you so much for having me. And as an added gift, I would love to make Spotify playlists of all three of our albums in case anybody just wants, because I feel like it's a different experience to really hear the songs flow into one to the other.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be great. Could you do that?
Great.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'll do it right away. When you guys were doing Stuck Inside These Four Walls, I made, I think it was Tom's like post Beatles and like if they didn't break up playlist.
That their
I
next made. Album. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I remember it was called It Don't Come Easy. Was that?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. And I really liked it. It was like a completely different experience to really hear them side by side. So, yeah, it takes 5 minutes. It's really no effort.
Yeah. Well, yeah. these little experiments are fun. So yeah. Thank you, man.
Always down to experiment.
Yes. Please don't forget to subscribe. We're over the 1.5. You're getting closer to our goal of 2K subscribers by the end of the year. And please consider subscribing. Andy, my friend, what do you got going on? What's going on in your world?
My other music channel is pretty quiet right now. I mean, I'm thinking, if I go to any concerts over the summer or I get any new acquisitions, I'll review them there. But, you know, my last couple of videos are up there and, it's just Two Legs time now, brother.
Yeah. And you've got an event coming up with, Womack, right? By the time, this is posted, it'll have been passed, right? The, Band on the Run thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm just that was this past Wednesday night. I'm going to Ken's doing a Fab Four masterclass on Band on the Run. which was this past Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And he does those once a month and different albums, but he's doing Band on the Run. So I figured why not jump on that one and go to it. So yeah, our friend Ken Womack. So stay tuned. And obviously as time goes on, we'll have a lot of updates in Chicago next month when I go there for the fest.
Excellent. Excellent. Kyle, what are you doing?
So I am, you know, just giving tours of the Statue of Liberty. And you know what? I mentioned the Beatles every statue tour. Because I talk about how there were five people that made the statue and they all needed to, like, they had their unique contributions. And I say, just like how the Beatles each had their own unique contributions. That's just my really forced excuse to, like, be like, who's your favorite Beatle? But
who's your favorite Beatle?
Someone said the other day, the main one. And I was like, right answer.
Well, you show them, I'm sure you, I hope you show them the photo of John outside the Statue of Liberty from July of 74, right? You know, that famous photo of him outside it. You got to show that, right?
So smart. Okay, I'm going to do that now. I didn't think of that.
Yes.
There's John in the Statue of, in the Ellis Island Museum. Artist made like a yellow, they made a tapestry of Manhattan, but it looks like the yellow submarine. And then John is sticking out doing that peace sign.
Yep. And there's the one of him in the with the statue in the foreground. And I want to say that was the 9th of July, 1974, if I'm remembering my Beatle book history correct, where he was in the front of the Statue of Liberty. So look for that photo and use that on your next tour.
I will. Thank you. But so, you know, in as my like a capstone of grad school, I made like a 360 VR video of what Dylan's New York, what Dylan's Greenwich Village would have looked like in 61. So any, it's not McCartney, but any general music fans, I could provide the link if anybody is interested in seeing that. Oh, well, Andy won. Okay, awesome. And then also, and please follow Ken Michaels Radio on YouTube.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Andy and I, we're part-timers there.
We are. And actually, I'll be on his, though, actually, now that you mention it, I am going to be on his trivia, next round of trivia. It hasn't been scheduled yet. I'm a two-time champ or whatever on there.
Two-time reigning champion right over here, Andy Nichols.
So
our own Andy Nichols, making two legs proud. And,
although every time I do win, I get a message from Joe Mayo saying, I would have beat you. Well, I'm like, Joe, you didn't.
The biggest rivalry in history, Andy and Joe Mayo.
Well, if we're going to talk about like some deep cut on a Ringo album that Joe's going to recite off the top of his head, then yeah, he's going to win. Fine.
Speaking of Ringo, when this is posted, the latest Talk More Talk will be up, and we'll be celebrating Ringo's birthday by talking about the Ringo-rama album, which is a really, really strong record there from Ringo. And we'll have a lot of fun with that one. And check out my movie channel, Tom's Movie Channel, if you're a fan of films, as I am. And hopefully by the time this is up, I'll have some more videos up, because I've been kind of slacking at the moment, just resting up.
Folks, if you think he's big music fan, he's even a bigger movie buff. It's incredible the amount of the knowledge of films and that Tom has. And of everything. He's as much a music fan. He is a film. He's probably the most knowledgeable film person I've ever met.
Well, thank you for that, Andy. But again, everybody, don't forget, leave your comments down below. Let us know what your 21 and the 21st are, and have fun with it. You know, take your time. Don't rush it. Let the as Kyle says, let the music come to you, and pick the songs that you feel are your favorites. For your album, don't forget, these are our picks for our albums, and they're going to be different from yours, and I want to see just how different they will be. So that being
just let
said,
me roll it let me roll it friend, to you that's all
yes let me roll it let me roll it to you there you go Kyle, Andy, I'm Tom, and as always, everybody out there, have a beautiful day, or I'm messing it up again. Have a great day and a beautiful night.
Oh, I'm going to leave it in.
Leave it in, please.
We'll leave it in. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. You've been listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.